Rainmaker FM is brought to you by the Showrunner Podcasting Course, your step-by-step guide to developing, launching, and running a remarkable show. Registration for the course is open February 10th through the 19th, 2016. Go to showrunnercourse.com to learn more. That's showrunnercourse.com.
Greetings, super friends. My name is Sonia Simone, and these are the confessions of a pink-haired marketer. For those who don't know me yet, I am a co-founder and the chief content officer for Rainmaker Digital. I'm also a champion of running your business and your life according to your own rules. As long as you don't lie and you don't hurt people, this podcast is your official pink permission slip to run your business or your career exactly the way you think you should. So I had an idea for a regular, probably a monthly series here on Pink Haired Marketing Land, and that is things I love and things I hate. Because I think it's easier to see how principles work by seeing them in action, by seeing examples. So I thought I would come up with a couple of things that I think are maybe not a sound path, a wise path, and then balance that out with something fantastic that I think is really hitting the right notes. So we're going to start with the all me, all caps Twitter stream. So in order to protect the not awesome, I am not going to include this person's Twitter handle, but I'll read to you from a Twitter stream that I ran across. People can't stop talking about my podcast! Exclamation point. I only have world's best entrepreneurs on live. People tell me they learn more from my podcast than they do from expensive colleges! Exclamation point. People say, and then he gives another podcaster, podcasts are boring and stuffy. They are all switching to, and then he gives the name of his podcast. So an added bonus is that a lot of the keywords in his Twitter stream are in all caps. Now, the person who is best known for this style is Donald Trump. And all I can say about that is, if you're not Donald Trump, do not do this. Possibly even if you are Donald Trump, don't do this, but that's a matter of opinion. But even if you think Donald Trump is awesome, can we just agree one is enough? So this individual literally posts nothing else on Twitter but shouty bragging about his podcast, and then once in a while he'll share a story about how well his business is doing. So, no one else is successful. No one else is worth listening to. No one else has a book worth reading or a podcast worth listening to. It's the all me, all cap show. There's one volume, hi, and there's one topic, how awesome he is. And the only reason that it isn't really boring is that it's kind of hilarious and really not in a good way. It does not come across as any kind of a good promotion, and it does not give the impression that this might, be a good podcast to listen to. The impression it gives is massive insecurity. Now, I don't know this guy, so I don't know if that's true or not, but that's what's being communicated. And by the way, somebody on our team actually met this person at a live event, and he did the exact same thing in person. So, I don't even, is all I can say. Now, I have no problem with letting people know that you have good stuff. You need to do that. It's when you're coming across as a parody account of yourself that you might have a problem. So just, for a simple thing, and I'm sorry if this is too snarky, but let's talk about the exclamation points. Terry Pratchett wrote a couple of times, multiple exclamation marks are a sure sign of a diseased mind. So, exclamation points are okay, but more of them is not better. You want to cool your jets, you want to use them, when it matters. Here's the thing, there are a lot of good ways to use social. There are a lot of ways to do it right, but every good social account is in some way part of an ecosystem. So you're sharing something that has value for others. It could be sharing insights. It could be sharing links. It could be sharing cute pictures of baby animals. There are a million things people have found to share that have value. But an ecosystem of one is not a healthy ecosystem. I have no problem at all with some bragging if you have some real accomplishments. And in fact, my guess is a lot of the folks listening to this show probably should brag a little bit more. You should go ahead and toot your own horn when you have something, you know, that's really actually excellent. But it doesn't come across well when that's the only thing on your stream. If you have a constant stream of, I can't hear you over the sound of how awesome I am, that doesn't help you meet your goals because it just isn't convincing. You want to show people how awesome you are instead of just constantly shouting about it. So again, this is not about don't brag online because that's silly. It's about have some balance and, have an account that balances out talking about your cool stuff with maybe talking about other people's cool stuff or just not being quite so shouty and braggy. I just want to repeat, there are a lot of great ways to use social media. You definitely do not need to spend hours every day having in-depth interactions with strangers. If that's not what you're into, you don't have to do it, but you just have to deliver some kind of value, and this ain't good. All right, enough negativity. Let's talk about what I love. This week, I want to talk about something you might have seen. It's the Bangor, Maine Police Department Facebook page. So because I'm so awesome, see what I did there? I was a somewhat early adopter to this page. So I actually found it before the page got featured on NPR and before it was featured in the New York Times. You know, go me. So if you haven't seen it yet, you will not believe that a police department Facebook page can look like this. It is the product of a writer. He is a real police officer. His name is Sergeant Tim Cotton, and he writes an amazing Facebook page, and it really shows, in my opinion, somebody using content in a way that's very fresh, that's very different, it's very sustainable, at least until Sergeant Cotton retires, and it actually, I think, does accomplish the goals of the page, which is that page is primarily a vehicle to deliver information to the public that the police wants the local citizens to know. Now, kind of interestingly, apparently there are like 33,000 people who live in Bangor, Maine, and there are more than 100,000 fans of the page. So that's kind of interesting. The page works mainly because it has a very, very distinct voice. So the writer is a veteran cop. And the page it's not a lol fest. You are not going to be laughing out loud a lot. But it always features this nice, dry humor from somebody who you can tell has just, you know, seen a lot of shenanigans over the course of his career. And of course, I will give you a link in the show notes. You can always find those at pinkhairedmarketer.fm. Sometimes links go south for specific posts on Facebook, so I'm just going to read you an example and then see if you think it's as awesome as I do. This year, the heavy snow and cold winter weather seem to avoid hitting our little piece of paradise, but like an attractive young lady tries to avoid the kid with the Rubik's Cube at the dance, right up until he mentions that he was accepted at MIT and received a 9/11 career 4S for his 8th grade graduation, things can change in a moment. If you want your Porsche to be located in your parking space tomorrow morning, we suggest that you move it to a safe location that does not include a City of Bangor street. That's correct. From 11 p.m. tonight until 6 a.m. tomorrow morning, we are under a parking ban on all city streets. There are no exceptions. We do not want to tow your car. We do not want to ticket your car. We do not want to plow your car under a snowbank. We want you to be happy, really, really happy. That is exactly why we warn you in advance in several different ways. The men and women of the Bangor Police Department will be here. We do not have a Porsche. So you probably didn't laugh, right? I mean, you didn't laugh out loud, probably. You might have, but you probably didn't. But you smiled. You know, it was very dry. It was very wry. And the whole page is like that. So Tim Cotton is a great example of letting a writing voice develop from real experiences and a real point of view and the willingness to not be super stuffy. So this is not a professional in air quotes, page in the sense of being dry or sounding official. But he's also not clowning around. It's not foolishness. He's just added in enough personality that you're actually going to read this thing and get the information. It's relevant. It's interesting. It's engaging. I think it's really nicely done in a space where it's not really known for a lot of excellent content. It's known for a lot of kind of boring content and sticky, treacly feel-good stories that really don't have much personality. So, bravo, Sergeant Cotton. And one of the other things I love is answering questions from folks like you, ahem. So leave me one at pinkhairedmarketer.fm so I can answer in a future show if you like. This one comes from Bruno Wink, who has a very nice presence on Twitter, might I add. And his question is, if you had to find someone to edit / copyright your writing, how would you choose between several? I like this question because it gives me an opportunity to give a couple of pieces of advice around this topic, and also because I think it's an awesome idea to bring people in to your content platform to help supplement where, you know, you may not have a strength. So just off the bat, one thing I would recommend is that you want to have a couple of people that you can tap for any kind of a critical business function. So I would start by not finding one editor. I'd probably find two, possibly three, and then split the work so that you're giving, you know, two or three people work regularly. And that just gives you bandwidth if somebody needs a sick day or somebody is going on vacation or they just get really busy. To quote super old school grumpy marketing cat Dan Kennedy, one is the worst number in business. So you always want to have some backups in place for people or processes that are critical to your business. So getting down to what makes a good editor, how do you find one? How do you choose one? Editing is really a blend of talent and lots of practice. And of course, you know, there are editors at all levels. There are genius editors, and then there are capable, good enough editors. Now, in my experience with anything along these lines where it's both a, you know, it's a refined skill that combines talent and experience, there's one way to find out how good they are, and that is to give them some work. Because the person with a really awesome looking resume might be the most excellent and might not be the most excellent. So do not ask people to work for free because that's lame and all the good people are going to tell you to go away. You're not going to get good people by saying, here, edit this piece for free so I can see if I want to hire you. Instead, what I would recommend is take maybe 3 to 5 people who look good out for a spin, or even take 2 out for a spin and then, you know, add occasionally. Assign them a piece at their requested rate and then just, you know, see what comes back. Now, obviously, this is something that will happen over time unless you want to go ahead and just write 5 pieces and then do a trial all at once. And obviously, if you give people different pieces of writing, you are, you know, it's not a perfectly equal playing field, but you should probably get a sense of how they are. And here are the things I pay attention to when I hire for a position like this or when I bring in a new freelancer for a position like this. The very first thing I look for is how are they to work with? Because if this doesn't work, none of the rest of it's going to work well. So if the person is super talented, but they really get on your nerves, or they're very, very skillful, but they're flaky about their deadlines, then in my experience, save yourself a lot of just pain and suffering and keep looking. Keeping in mind that they're going to be on their best behavior with a sample piece. So if they're not good to work with now, then in my experience, they're not going to get better. The second huge thing that you need to look at, and it has to work, is do you like the writing that you get back from the process? And you want to think about how much transformation you're looking for, and you also want to communicate that to the editor that you're working with. So if all you want is help catching, you know, basic grammatical and usage errors and typos and spelling, that's kind of one level of editing. And there are, you know, a lot of people who can do that for you and do a good job. Or do you want somebody who's just going to help you sound better, who's going to improve your voice, who's going to make you sound like you, but better, you know, like you, but smarter? That person is going to cost more and going to be harder to find. They are out there. They are brilliant. They are wonderful. But don't expect to pick that up, you know, for a super low rate. It's not going to happen. It's not right to ask for it. So those are the two main ones. The third one just to keep an eye on is, have they left a typo or have they left some other, you know, just outright error? This for me would be a bit of a cardinal sin. Now, it happens in day-to-day work sometimes. So sometimes your editor is not going to catch a typo. Sometimes your editor is going to miss something. It just happens. There are no perfect human beings. But this first piece is really an audition. And in an audition piece, they should obsess. You know, they should spend more time on it, in my opinion. In my experience, good editors tend to be perfectionists. So if they send you something back and it's still got a true error, I'm not talking about, well, you could have used this word, might have had a better connotation than that word. I mean a typo, a misspelling, an outright usage error, something like that. If they're not showing that perfectionism again in the audition, then I would see that as a red flag. So as far as where to find somebody like this, you know, there are, of course, freelance boards out there. You can get recommendations from friends. You could certainly look at our community of certified content marketers. Now, they will definitely not be the cheapest option, but, you know, normally getting a professional is not the cheapest option. If you are looking more for that person who's going to make you sound like yourself, but awesome, you know, I would definitely consider looking over there. So if you go to copyblogger.com and then you look for that products tab, we have an option for certified writers. And I will also give you a link right to that page in the show notes. So that is a list of people that we have certified. We have, you know, spoken for them as content marketers. It's also got a box where if you are a freelance writer or you are a writer, we also have writers who work in companies, and you want to get certified, you can sign up to join the waiting list. How that works is you go through a course. We teach a course. Brian Clark and I teach a course. It's a 4-week course on advanced content marketing. And then a member of our editorial staff looks at your application, looks at actual things you've written, and says, we would vouch for this person, we would stake our reputation on recommending them, or we would not. So you pass or you fail. Not everybody who signs up passes. And I just want to be 1,000% transparent about that financial relationship with those people. Because it is in products, so it might seem like, you know, they work for us. They don't. They all work for themselves or they work for other organizations, and we do not get any cut of their fees. They pay the cost of the course that they take to be certified. They do not pay an additional fee to go through the certification process, and some people just take the course as an advanced content marketing course. And then they need to stay current in our authority community, and so there is a fee with that. So that's our financial relationship with them. They pay for the course, and then they pay for authority, and that's their ongoing education. So they get just up to date on, you know, SEO and content strategy and other things that we think they need to do a really excellent job for you. And hopefully that wasn't too boring, but I want people who are using the content marketers to understand exactly what financial relationship we have with them. You know, I just don't want there to be any misunderstanding about that, because that wouldn't be ethical or cool on my part. So I would love to hear your questions. I want to thank Bruno for leaving his. I do appreciate that very much. It's a really good question. I think it's one a lot of people have on the mind. February 29th is going to be a QA podcast. So I'm going to need, you know, 3, 4, 5, depending on how involved they are. Pinkhairedmarketer.fm is where you get all the show notes for all the podcasts. You can get archive episodes. You can get additional links, additional resources, all that good stuff. You can always reach me on Twitter. I'm at Sonia Simone and love to say hi there. Most of my questions these days are coming from Twitter, but just leave the question wherever works for you. So thanks again to Bruno. Thanks to you for your time and attention. You know, I absolutely love that. And I will catch you next week. This is Sonia Simone with Confessions of a Pink-Haired Marketer. Take care, guys. Thanks.